بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Some Sahabi came and complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we experience such doubts and such evil thoughts, that it is better for us that we die and we are burned to coal than bring that onto the tongue. Very evil thoughts and very bad suspicions and doubts coming into our minds. What do we do with this? Rasulullah asked him, "Do you experience this?" He said, "Yes, we do experience this." So he answered them that this is clear indication of faith, absolute pure indication of faith. It isn't a thing that you must become obsessed and worried about. Rather, it is something that you can consider as a mark and a proof of your faith, proof of your deen. Shaitan or a robber only attacks a place where there is some treasure. Where there isn't any treasure, then the robber doesn't waste his time. What am I saying? Rob this place for? This place is haunted, there's nothing here, it's desolate, there's absolutely nothing here, then what must I waste my time for? I must go and use up my energy in a place where there is some type of treasure. So similarly, Shaitan doesn't waste his time. He will go to a place where there is some treasure. Where there is no treasure, it's just waste, it's just rubbish, then there's no need for him to go up there. One person asked Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh that you see many a times people coming to Shiaism, Qadianism, etc. But you won't hear a Shia becoming a Sunni. He is a Shia. You don't hear of him, of the Shia becoming a Muslim. You hear of a person being a Qadiani, but you very seldom hear that the Qadiani is becoming a Muslim. Similarly, very seldom you will hear of a Shia becoming a Muslim. What is the reason? So he says the reason is obvious, that that person that is a Shia or a Qadiani, he is already on the path of Shaitan, right? He is already on that path. So Shaitan doesn't waste his time with them because they are already on his bandwagon. They are already following him. He needs to exhaust his energy on that person that is on the right, that he can rob him and deprive him of the treasure that he's got, bring him onto his side. But that person that's already on, is already on with him, so what's the need to waste our time and our energy with such people? So having these type of doubts and these type of thoughts is not a thing to become over concerned and over worried that why am I experiencing these doubts? Why am I experiencing these type of thoughts? Many people, in fact most people, will find this as you start your namaz, and all type of thoughts begin to crowd your mind. And then normal person feels, is my iman right? Is my iman right? Some have some other experience, like you are sleeping now and you feel such that someone is choking you, or you feel that you want to recite the kalima and the kalima is not coming out of your tongue. And then when you get up in a shock, you get up in a fear that I tried to read the kalima, but the kalima will just not come out of my tongue. So what will happen to me at the time of death? So you don't have to worry about all these things. It's just a mental state. Many people go into that state because of mental exertion. You're mentally exhausted. So you want to say something, but you can't say it. You want to move, but you can't move. is not because of anything else. Right. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali likened this state, the state of the mind, to a person that has come to his friend's home, his friend's residence, and at the residence there is the dog or his dog that is barking out. So what must this person do? Person that's come as a guest, what must he do? He's got one of three options. If he runs away, the dog will give him the chase. Right? So he'll be hurt, the dog will be pursuing him, and he will be hurt, he will be injured. So similarly, when these thoughts are coming in, one is to try and escape those thoughts. You try and escape those thoughts will keep following you. Right? The second is try to fight the dog. If you're going to fight up, put up a fight with the dog, the thing will fight back. The more you go for it, the more it will bark, the louder it will bark, the more it will try and attack you. So if you try to answer those arguments and answer those doubts that are coming into your mind, then the doubts will come with even greater force. You answered one and the second doubt is coming in. You answered the second one, there is the third doubt that's coming in. You answered the fourth one and there is the fifth doubt that's coming in. And by time you know it, it's Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So your whole namaz is gone in just answering those thoughts of shaitan. So this way of trying to answer those doubts, that's also not going to work. Don't get into an argument and don't get into a discussion with shaitan. Shaitan will try and engage you, and he knows why he's trying to engage you. That entire namaz, your thoughts must just be derailed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must be distracted from Allah ta'ala. It must go onto a different line. So don't go onto that line and don't show shaitan that you are so intelligent that you can answer every objection and every doubt of his. The whole namaz will work. Shaitan is so old, so he knows how to play the mind. He's so old, from Adam alayhi salam's time he's living till now. You can imagine how many hundreds of thousands of years he must be. Very old dada he must be, right? So he knows the game. He knows how to play the mind, how to work the mind. If you go on this end, then how to trap you here. And you go on the other end, then how to trap you there. If it's an old man, how to trap him. If it's a young person, how to trap him. What type of thoughts must bring. And what will distract this person, what will distract that person. So he knows it exactly. What work you are doing. And then in the work you are doing, how to distract you. He knows. And he knows the things that distract you. He knows the things that trigger your temptation. So he knows all these things. So in that namaz, let me just trigger his temptation. You know what, bhai? I heard about that property going for sale. Now he's triggered one thought. And now you go for that. That property is going for sale. Now it mustn't happen that the next person knows about it. Let me just keep it as a secret. So then you're thinking, how am I going to finance that property? I got that money overseas now. I just need to bring it in. And then I'll have sufficient. But then who's going to look after the property? Oh no, that other person, I asked him to act as an agent for this property of mine. He will act as an agent. He will collect the rental. I can make a clean 100,000 every month, man. I think I got something for myself. So one son is left. So I just need to set him up. And then he can do dini work. Now the whole chakkar is going in the namaz. The whole chakkar is planning the whole thing out. And by time you know it, it's Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. They say, Astaghfirullah. Where my mind went away? So he knows every person and what type of a carrot to put before that person to distract him. Right. You hear of the famous philosopher, Allama Razi, Razi as they call him. So he had taken bayat at the hands of Najmuddin Kubra rahmatullah alayhi. And whatever zikrs and tasbihat he asked him to engage in, he started off. So as he engaged in the zikr and the tasbihat, etc., he saw something leaving him. So he went and reported to the sheikh that you asked me to engage in the zikr and tasbihat, and I am sitting here making those zikrs and I see something is leaving me. So the Shaykh told him that you haven't lost anything, but all the evil of that philosophy, the godlessness of that philosophy that you have learned, that's leaving you. Right? A lot of arguments that lead to godlessness, right? They make you feel doubtful about the existence of a creator, all the type of thoughts that will come to your mind. So those thoughts are leaving. The questions and the counter questions and then the answers, the counter answers, how do you answer all these type of things. So these useless thoughts are leaving, right? So he went and related to the Shaykh. The Shaykh told him that this is what is leaving you. So he says to the Shaykh, but you know what? I spent an entire lifetime perfecting this science, this whole science of philosophy. I took an entire lifetime to perfect that science. And you mean to say that I'm going to lose all this thing? Jazakallah. I'm leaving this. The Shaykh told him, by if this thing leaves you, Allah Ta'ala will supplement you with something even better. He will substitute you with something better. This is gone in place of what you've lost. Allah Ta'ala will grant you another branch of ilm. Imam Ghazali Sahib Rahmatullahi also was a great philosopher of his time. But after that, he left it out. He left it out. And when he left it out, Allah Ta'ala substituted him, replaced him with something far better, far greater. And up till now we talk of Imam Ghazali Sahib Rahmatullahi, that Allah Ta'ala granted him something even better than what he had known. See, the ancient philosophers, they thought a little bit differently. One person was traveling and he was looking for a place to sleep, so he found a masjid. He said, I'll sleep away in the masjid. In the dream, he sees Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he asks Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam about Bu Ali Sina, the founder of medicine, calling him Avicenna. So Rasulullah sallam says that he tried to come to Allah Ta'ala without me. That is, he wants to go direct to Allah Ta'ala without my medium. In this world, Allah Ta'ala has designed it such that you need to come to Allah Ta'ala, then you have to come through the medium of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِ. There's no other road. You want to go to Allah Ta'ala, you'll have to go via Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You can't bypass the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in order to reach Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You want to come to Allah Ta'ala through the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's the only way that has been endorsed by Allah Ta'ala. It's endorsed, it's got the divine endorsement it's got. It's got the divine seal. So if you're coming that way, then you've got the divine protection. But if you want to reach Allah Ta'ala straight without this medium, then you're doomed, you lost. People tried that. Philosophers in the past, they tried that. That they will reach Allah Ta'ala, but they would say that, yes, the Nabi is true, but the Nabi is meant for those people that are not intelligent and capable. And we are capable, we are quite intelligent. We know how to reach Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Person that doesn't know is not intelligent enough, not capable enough. The Nabi is meant for such people. But when we have got that understanding, we have got the reasoning, then what's the need for us to go through this route? Okay. Like this Pluto and all this, Aflatun, in Arabic they call it. So he met Musa alayhi salam, and he asked Musa alayhi salam, say if the skies were the spears, and the target was the earth, if someone tried or someone wanted to save himself, then what was the road for him to save himself? Spears are coming from the sky and the earth is being the target. So if someone wants to save himself, then what's the way out? What is the exit? Immediately Musa said, then stand on the side of the sky. Normally, when you stand on the side of the archer, you get saved. But you stand on the opposite end, you are destroyed. So this Aflatun, Pluto, says, well, I must say that you are a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. But you are a Nabi not for people like us. We are super intelligent. We are super intelligent. We can reach Allah Ta'ala without this medium. This medium of a Nabi is meant for those people that are not intelligent like us. We know how to reach Allah Ta'ala. We know how to restrain and control and discipline our nafs. Right? You discipline your soul and you get to Allah Ta'ala. So we know this thing here. So that person that doesn't know how to discipline himself, he doesn't know how to restrain himself, then for him is the way of the Nabi. But when we know about it, then what's the need of going this way? Whereas Allah Ta'ala has blocked out all ways. Any way any person is trying, attempting to reach Allah Ta'ala, he has blocked it off. You're not going to get there. You try what you want, but I'm not giving you access to that. You try what you want. Muhaddis Abdul Haq Dahlawi Rahmatullah Ali, he was residing in Medina Munawwara, and he was inspired by a dream that you move away to India or Ghareeban Hind ka khayal rakhna, and think about the poor people of India. Poor doesn't mean poor financially, but poor with respect to deen. They are poor, they are backwards in deen, and they are in the snare of shaitan, in bidat, etc. So remove them and bring them on the path of sunnah. So he cried and asked Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that here in Medina Munawwara, I am blessed with your vision every day. He was that class of buzurg that used to see Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam daily. Whichever way, however it was, but it was a gift that he would experience and he would see Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam every day of his life. Right? Now you get that class of awliya, you see as a Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi Muhaddis Dahlawi. He was also a similar person. He's got a small problem, something that is disturbing him. He can't find a solution to a masla or something. And he will just meditate and he will see Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Rasulullah Sallallahu will give him the answer straight away. So you get this class of Buzugaradeen, you get this class of awliya ikram, and Allah Ta'ala gives different type of gifts and favors to different servants. We can't ask Allah Ta'ala that why is this person being favored in this way and why is that person being favored in another way. That is the prerogative and the right of Allah Ta'ala. He wants to gift whoever, in whichever way, that is his right. Why he's doing it and for whom he's doing it, he knows why he's doing it. We don't need to get into that nitty-gritty. Remember, there's two affairs that are going on in this world, right? One is the affairs that are not within our control and volition, right? And one is those works that are within our control and volition. Those that are not within our volition and control, don't put your mind to it. It's not in our control, not in our volition, not in our choice. So we don't get tangled up into it. Why is this person wealthy? Why is he poor? Why this person has got so many children and I don't have any children? And why is this person so prosperous and so successful and this person not so successful and prosperous? Why is he so intelligent? And why is this calamity come here? And why this tsunami came? So leave all that. That is Allah's department. Leave it. Leave it to him. He understands that. Oh, this person, and he died so young. He had small little children and he died. Why did he have to die like this? So this is not your department, not our area. It is he that is controlling the affairs. When he is controlling the affairs, leave it to him. Assign it, resign it to him. He knows why he's doing it. Why must we get entangled? It's not our factory. Who's running the factory, he knows why he's doing what. We haven't the right to ask the owner and the director of the factory that why are you doing it like this? Why are you planning it like this? That's not our right. Ibrahim bin Adham, rahmatullah alayhi, he had left the entire kingdom of Balkh, Afghanistan, and he had adopted the path of suluk, coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A big, great king, very, very successful, very, very influential. And he leaves everything and he comes here at nightfall and he thinks to himself that I should go and recite at a masjid. He comes into that masjid. There is one mullah, old man there, looking after the masjid. Not an alim, obviously. So when he saw Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi and it's approaching night, so he says, Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, you know what? There's no place to sleep here. You better move away. So Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi told him, don't worry, I'm not here to come and eat your food. And not long after that, Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi sees that this mullah is receiving sustenance and provision from the unseen. Allah Ta'ala is providing for him. So Ibrahim bin Adham told him, don't worry, I will not ask you for your food. It's alright, if you're not asking for your food, for my food, then it's alright, you can stay here. When he got the food, he turned towards the Qibla, put his food there, and got his back towards Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh, so that there's no interruption. He doesn't feel sorry for him, and doesn't have to share the food with him. Not even half an hour passed, so a whole group of people, whole entourage of people are bringing trays and trays of food upon their heads, and the whole masjid is filled with aroma, full with fragrance, zafran, and the works, you know, varieties upon varieties. And the mullah made out that this Ibrahim bin Adham is also receiving something, some assistance from the unseen. So he cried out to Allah Ta'ala, that I am worshipping you so long, and I am getting this dal diwal, every day I am getting this type of food, two rotis and two botis I am getting. And this man here just came in, and he's been treated like this. He's got hundreds of varieties, and the works he's got, see the fragrance, what type of treatment he's getting. What is the reason for this? I am not worthy of anything in your sight, O Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala's reply to him was, that you were working the fields, right? You had a hoe, you had a pickaxe, you had a spade, these were the instruments that you had, and used to work the fields, and this is the food that you were eating all. In fact, this is slightly better and above what you were getting then, right? And this man here, he left the entire kingdom of Balkh, had hundreds of attendants, hundreds of comforts and pleasure, what luxuries he had. He left all that for my service. He abandoned all that for my service. And you were working the fields, so you're being served in the way that you were used to, and he's being honored in the way that he was being honored. If you want, we'll turn you back to the fields, and you work the field like you used to be working the field, and we'll give you the same type of provision that you used to be enjoying, if you want it. So this planning, this designing, and this administration is Allah Ta'ala's. When it's his administration, he will post whoever in whichever department. It's an administration. Someone will be an ordinary menial worker, tea boy, someone is cleaning up, someone is sweeping the floor, and someone is working in a more professional position. So these positions will be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not our place to ask Allah Ta'ala why this person is posted like this. That's his work. Why is posted whoever in whichever position that he knows. Yes, what we need to know is, what do I need to do in this entire operation, this whole factory, this whole operation, what is my portfolio? That's what I need to know. Why he is being treated like that, that Allah Pak knows. He created him, he created this whole operation, so he knows why that person is suited for that work. But definitely I need to know, that where do I fall in this operation? What do I do? What is my portfolio? What is my work? If someone knows this and he confines his mind to this, I feel he will make a lot of progress by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he confines himself to his duties. My portfolio, my duty, what does my Allah ta'ala want from me at which moment? Any given moment, what does he want of me? But I want to know that. Why is doing this, and why did the rain come today, and why that child passed away, and why that person came into an accident, and why is the child born retarded, and why this happened? That's not my work. It's not my work. Yes, what is my portfolio, what is my work and my duty? I need to get engaged in that. In an entire operation, if someone is given a small work, a garden boy, right? Now the garden boy wants to know many things, what's happening in the whole operation. He wants to know from the prince, where do you live, and where's your quarters, and where the treasures of the king, where they lie, and which is the quarters of the princess, and I want to see her clothing, and how she lives, and how she dresses, and how she undresses, and all that. What they will tell him, bhai, get out from here. Move away. That's not your business. You move away. That's not your business. It doesn't concern you. For a small little king, he can't see that that person that is doing that menial job, he must come and ask their authority. He can't stand it. That's not your problem. That's not your business. Leave it. If he wants to gain some access, then they'll throw him out. Get out from here. So in this operation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we not even like that menial worker in this entire equation. We're not even a menial worker. That boss or that king required the service of the menial worker. Does Allah ta'ala require us? Does he need us? He doesn't need us. When he doesn't need us, then how do we ask his authority? La yus'alu amma yaf'alu wa hum yus'alun. He is not answerable to anybody. He's not answerable to anybody. So anyway, our duty is just to understand what is our portfolio in this world. What does he want from us in the morning? What does he want from us at namaz times? What does he want us at our businesses? What does he want from us in our homes? What type of behavior he wants from us? That's our portfolio. We know that, we know this entire life. We don't know this and we learned everything else. We learned about dinosaurs and monkeys and apes, everything. We haven't learned anything. Really, we don't know what we are here for. We learned everything else, but the reason why we are here, we don't know that. Then what's the need of being here? Why are we alive? Someone understands that, he understands the mystery of life. مَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. It's only for the worship, only for his service, only for the servitude of Allah that we are here. So you learned servitude, you learned everything. And you didn't learn servitude, you haven't learned anything. No matter what you are, but you haven't learned servitude to the master that has brought you here, that has given you a place, you haven't learned anything. So you're getting at the story of Avicenna, and this buzurg that is sleeping and resting in the masjid, he sees Rasulullah and he asks Rasulullah, what about this person here, Avicenna? So he's a very intelligent person. He tried to reach Allah Ta'ala without my medium. They had thrown him into Jahannam. Come on, finish. Intelligent. He's thinking of the right. But he is thinking of the right. Wants to bypass Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and go on to the right. They were thrown him into Jahannam. Then he asked about raises. Imam Razi. Right? So he says, Rajulun tahtal itab. He's being reproached. That he went too deep into all this thing here. He got a little bit distracted from the cause. Though at the end he came right, but he was a little bit distracted of the cause. So he's being reproached, he's being reprimanded that why you allowed yourself to be distracted from the path. I was explaining that incident where the sheikh asked him to make the zikr. So he says, Sheikh, no. Just make me maaf, I want to go away now. Sheikh tried to convince him, but he was too obsessed with that knowledge of his. Anyway, the same Najmuddin Kubra, rahmatullah alayhi, in his old age, he's making wuzu. And in the old days, we didn't have this type of taps and all that. You were making wuzu with the jugs. So he's old, and his khadim, his attendant, is helping him making the wuzu. Now, whilst he's making the wuzu, he's just going on and on and on, washing his hands. Just going on, washing his hands. So the khadim, obviously he needs to show respect, so he can't ask the sheikh now, why are you going on washing your hands like this? But after some time, then the sheikh looks a little bit angrily in a direction, he takes out his champal, his sandal, and he flings it in a direction, and he says loudly, Kehdo is la'in ko, tell that cursed that I believe in Allah Ta'ala without any proof. I believe in Allah Ta'ala without any proof. Anyway, the wuzu was over, namaz was over. So now the khadim plucked up the courage. Hazrat, what were you doing? So know that Imam Razi was in his death, in the throes of death. He was on the throes of death, and Shaitan was placing doubts in his mind one after the other. As he is putting and inserting those doubts, he was answering the doubt. Number one, this is a doubt and that's the answer. Number two, doubt and answer. And he was going on putting the doubts and he was going on answering. Until whatever treasure of knowledge Imam Razi had, the treasure of knowledge was already depleted, finished. He had just one proof left, one left. And now I was afraid that Shaitan is going to put up another doubt. When he's going to place the doubt into his mind, how is he going to answer? So before the Shaitan could instill the doubt into his mind, I told him, just tell that cursed. Tell that cursed that I believe in Allah Ta'ala without any proof. So this is a chakkar, this is a circle that Shaitan will put you into. If you wish to go into it, you can't come out of it. You get locked into it, you can't come out of it. The easiest way, the simplest way is just hold on to Allah Ta'ala. That, oh Allah Ta'ala, I believe in you, and I believe in you without any proof. I don't need any proof. And if you're not going to go in that way, then you'll go into one circle. Why this? Who was there? And who created this person? And who created him? Then you'll ask, who created Allah Ta'ala? And it will be one circle. You can't get out of that circle. You can't get out of the rut. You want to get out, you can't get out of it. So Shaitan knows how to package. See, he's the agent of kufr. He is the agent of kufr. So how to package the product for that client? He knows how to do it. It's a package. It's a product you need to package. So how to package it? He knows how to package it. The same Imam Razi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Shaitan met up with him while he was alright. So Shaitan asked him, and whose iman is stronger? Your iman or the iman of that person that is working in the field? Whose iman is stronger? Is your iman stronger or the iman of the person that is working in the field, is plowing the field? Imam Razi says, obviously it's my iman that is stronger, because my iman is tahqiqi. My iman is well researched. I researched the whole iman. And his iman is taqlidi. He is just following the ways of his father. His father was a Muslim, so he's just following, and that's the essence of his iman. My iman is well researched. And his iman is just something that he's following. He's inherited something from above, and he's just following that. So Shaitan says, don't give me that type of stories. I'll prove it to you whose iman is stronger. Shaitan also in some time used to do some things a little bit right. You know? Sometimes he did some things right. One buzurg saw Shaitan. So that buzurg asked Shaitan, how must I come like you? How must I come like you? So that Shaitan says, You want to become my friend, you want to become close to me, there's two things you must do. One is, just neglect your namaz, gross neglect of namaz, takbir ula, first serve. Just neglect your namaz completely. Number two, just misuse your tongue, keep on, just qasam and false. Whatever comes your way, just give it. So this buzurg tells him, wallah, I take an oath that I will be very particular about these two things. From now onwards, I will never compromise my namaz, and I will take maximum care about my tongue. So Shaitan says, you have to admit sometimes, you have to admit defeat. He said, nobody ever deceived me. You're the first person to deceive me. But from this day onwards, I will never divulge my secrets. But the secret is already divulged. He already divulged the secret. That you want to come close to him, then just your namaz, just ignore your namaz, neglect your namaz, postpone it. Don't have to perform it on time, takbir ulas, in the masjid, in the first serve, don't worry about it. And your tongue, don't be concerned about it. Just whatever comes your way, just let it go. So we were talking about this Imam Razi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and Shaitan asked him, and whose iman is stronger? Is your iman stronger, or is it the iman of this person that is working on the field? So Imam Razi says, well, obviously mine, my iman is researched. I researched it. For how many years I researched and I come to this. And this person's iman is just what he's inherited from his father. So I'll prove it to you that your iman is not strong. So they went up to the person that's working on the field. So they asked him, how many gods are these? Obviously one. So Shaitan is asking him, but if I prove that there is more than one, then that peasant that is working the farm, he says, you see this pickaxe, I'll bust your head for this. So the Shaitan is telling Imam Razi, how do you explain such people? Can you explain such people? There's no explanation you can give them. They just marne marne ke liye taiyar ho jate hain. They just pull up their sleeves now. You can't do anything with them. So this person's iman is much stronger. You don't have to go about answering Shaitan. You see, as I say, the advantage that he's got is living of hundreds of thousands of years. So he's seen so many people went through his hands, right? So he knows which way to distract, which way to mislead, which way to hurt, which way to send a person off the track completely. He knows about it. He's been to so many people he's gone through. So the simplest way is, Inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. Become the servant of Allah Ta'ala. Plead to Allah Ta'ala. When the thoughts are coming to you, then go on to your defense. You know, I said, when the arrows are being shot from that side, go on to the defense. Go on to that side. The person that is throwing, the creator of all arrows, go on his side. When you go on the side of the creator of all arrows, that's Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then you are safe. So you went and asked of him. You held on to his threshold. You went and held on to his garments. You asked him for his protection. You asked for him his protection. You don't need anything else. You asked his protection. You asked for his help. You asked for his guardianship, that he must protect you. He must look after you. He must take care of you. That you don't need anything else. But the moment you go and put up your defense on your own, you try and show, no, I am so good, and I've got answers for this, and I've got arguments for this. So we'll show it to you. We'll prove it to you. He'll flaw your arguments. You bring up an argument, he'll flaw it down. You bring up the second argument, he'll flaw that argument also. So the only recourse is that you hold on to Allah. You just look after me. You protect me. You guard me. I can't of my own look after myself. My arguments are all falling and they're failing away. So Allah Ta'ala, you take care of me. So similarly, we're talking of the example of the person that's calling for his friend in the house, you see. So one is that he begins to fight with the dog. Then too, it's not going to be a winning situation because that dog is going to fight back with much power. You try and answer that argument, another argument will come with greater power. You answer the second one, the third answer will come with greater force. So you don't attack the dog. Then what do? You just pull out your cell phone and you phone your friend. That I want to come into your house and this dog of yours is obstructing. So that the owner will come himself and he'll move away the dog and he'll give you the access. Simple as that. So similarly, you just raise your hands to Allah Ta'ala. Right? You raise your hand. By Allah Ta'ala, you don't even need the cell phone. Yeah, you need cell phone to call your friend. Yeah, you don't need cell phone. No numbers to dial. They're straight Allah Ta'ala. You don't have to remember any numbers. Allah Ta'ala, you protect me. You take care of me. I can't look after myself. And you will see that the dog that was on the way, Shaitan that was on the way, Allah Ta'ala himself will move away the dog and you got the access to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So that's a simple, easy way, effective way to remove these type of distracting thoughts that crowd the mind. In namaz, whatever thing you are. Don't get obsessed. Don't get worried. Why are these thoughts coming to me? And am I a Muslim? And is my iman safe or not? Just ignore that. Just ignore that. All you need to do is ask Allah Ta'ala's protection. Whether it's in namaz, ask from your heart. You can't ask verbally. Ask from your heart, Allah Ta'ala, you look after me. You take care of me. Comes again you see the same thing. The third time again you see the same thing. You will see, you will definitely be eventually in the winning position. Allah Ta'ala, tawfiq.